Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Let's do this together. A one, a two, a three.
Brian Dempster rapidly becoming a very good pitcher. And for the first time in his major league career, Brian Dempster not only with a complete game, but with a complete game shutout.
Strike three call. Dempster, nicely done to get out of that jam.
Brian Dempster gets his 100th career win, number 50 as a Cub.
Joe Girardi livid. Ryan Dempster did not get tossed out of the game. Warnings were issued to both sides by Brian O'Norris.
Do you think he should be suspended?
Who?
Ryan.
I'm the wrong guy to be asking about suspension. Holy mackerel.
Everybody, Brian's lineup was brought to you by Taco Bell. Get yourself a Gordito.
The Taco Bell tolls. We love it. We go to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we bring in our resident pitching expert, improv expert. Sorry, Rami, it's just the truth.
Oh, no, much more accomplished.
And also somebody who can give us a tip or two about singing the seventh inning stretch. It is Ryan Dempster. Demp, never have you been more useful than you are today.
I heard. This is awesome. Good for you guys. Have fun out there.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. Do you have any tips for Marshall Harris and me on what to do about singing the stretch? You did a great job the other day.
Thanks. I would practice. Do you guys? I mean, I sing the seventh inning stretch every time I'm at the game, so I feel like I should know the words by now, so that's good.
Yeah, that I know. Yeah.
Let loose. Just, yeah, have fun with it. Go slow. Go slower. Slower the better.
Okay, that's good. That is good advice. Marshall is texting me right now about when to turn the mics on the crowd, and I'm like, but they're singing the whole time. So I'm not sure what he means by that, but he'll talk to us at 1:45.
You tell me if I'm right. I think there are two parts where you turn the mic to the crowd. One is when you say Cubbies. And then the 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out, right?
Yeah, you can do both. Like, definitely the Cubbies. That's always a good one. The whole crowd, they want to hear themselves, and that's important.
Okay. Yeah, so, that's easy enough.
Yeah.
Well, so is throwing a fastball. No, it is not. thankfully, I don't have to throw a first pitch. But when you experienced it the other day, what was it like for you? Not just the first pitch, but singing.
All of the whole experience is amazing, you know, and like the fans, they give me an awesome ovation. That was really nice. And I try to think of something fun and different because I've done it a few times, but I was like, oh, maybe I can get one to the bleachers. And then I started to look and see how far away that was from the mound. And I'm like, I got to go on the other side of the dirt for this. And then just to throw the first pitch and do the stretch. And it's a special place. Like I said, it's the best place going a day game in baseball at Wrigley, Memorial Day, full house. It was just the team playing great. It was just
special to be a part of. A lot of fun.
There's a part of me that thinks, like, no way Demp gets nervous throwing out the first pitch. You're a professional pitcher. You've thrown thousands of pitches. But then on the other side of it, is it in the back of your mind like, oh, it'd be even worse if I was the guy who like, missed the catcher? You know what I mean? Compared to just any other just regular schmo walking off the street and throwing the first. Was there any nerves or anything in the pit of your stomach going out and doing that?
A little, of course.
Okay.
I think you get some good, fun, nervous energy. I was more nervous about the throw getting to the bleachers than I was about the first pitch. I figured I wouldn't bounce it. That's all I knew.
There you go.
Yeah, you launched that throw.
Somewhere in the around there.
So what inspired you to launch that?
Today, so
yeah, what was the thought process?
A little something different. I've had chances to catch first pitches before in the past, and Will Ferrell was always my favorite. He always had a little flair to it. Bill Murray the same way, and so, plus I love the bleachers. They're awesome people out there, and I was just trying to give an extra souvenir on Memorial Day.
Well, I thought that was a lot of fun too. I think was Marquee did the side by side of you and Big Z doing the bleacher throw launch.
He almost made his was all the way from the dugout, so he threw it further. I will say that he was bigger and stronger.
Let's get to this Cubs team and what we've seen out of them. And I was saying earlier in the show, Demp, that whether we're talking about starters and with Steele and Shota going down or whether it's relievers and guys sort of blowing up or having injuries themselves, the Cubs just keep getting quality pitching up and down the rotation and the bullpen. What do you attribute that to? Is there some organizational philosophy that's taken hold here for the Cubs?
I think, you know, just good coaching as well as players, that talented ball players that are, you know, got off to a good start. And that always bodes well because, you know, you get confidence going. And Tony La Russa used to talk about that. He'd say you never can win a division in April, but you can lose one. And when you get off to it's more than just wins and losses. I think it's a player's performance. Instead of, you know, sitting there with a 9 ERA and you got a 3, it feels a lot better and you feel more confident. If you're a hitter and you're hitting 300 and you've already got 10 homers, you feel like you're not chasing a season, even though you're trusting the process. And then these guys do a great job of grinding out at bats and fighting off tough pitching and, you know, doing things within a game like they did it to Hunter Green the other day in Cincinnati, where it's like he throws 85 pitches through 4 innings. They're just like, that's enough. You know, there's not easy innings. They grind out. They're going to score runs, whether that's via the long ball or, you know, station-to-station baseball with clutch hits. Like, they're doing a really incredible job, and it's top to bottom, and everybody wants to be a part of it.
Talking to Ryan Dempster here on Raheemy and Harris on The Score, and Ryan, one of the things that I cannot put it into words, you would know better than me, but the concept of knowing whether you're a starter, whether you're a reliever, whether you're at the top of the lineup, whether you're at the bottom, that somebody on this team is going to pick up the other person, and how much that allows you to be the best version of you. How do you put that into words? Because I feel like that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing is trust in relationships and a care for one another. Like, when you care about each other and you got a good thing going, you don't care where you're hitting in the lineup. You don't care where you're playing in the field. You know, you're just trying to contribute. And, you know, the other day when Reese McGuire hit the 2 home runs and he said, you know, he feels like he's living a dream because he got do something special with this team. And when things are going well and it's a different person every night, it feels like it doesn't matter. It could be me out of the 7 hole, or I could be leading off, or I could be hitting 4th. I'm just going to do my part when called upon. And, you know, I think that takes trust in one another, trusting your manager, you know, you trusting in him, all those kind of things. So there's just a lot of levels to it. But I think trust and relationships is the reason why you see success a lot.
Yeah, and that's being a manager, like beyond just setting the lineup or when to pull the pitcher. That's really the job of a manager right there, all the things that you're talking about, Dem.
Well, and too, and trusting in your coaches, right? Like, I'm not going to, like, most good managers aren't going to sit there and hover over hitters while they're working in the cage. It's like, that's why I have my hitting coach, and I believe in him. And DK and Maley, like, have done a tremendous job, as well as other departments. But you look at their hitting coaches, both two really, really good hitting coaches. And, you know, Maley is hitting coach of the World Series champion team. Like, he knows what it's like. And I think that puts guys at ease. They know that they can have comfort, and these guys know their routine. And, when they suggest something, you trust in it. That's what it's like when you have a good coach. And then the manager can manage the game and manage the bullpen and deal with the media and deal with the individuals and what they might need and allow his coaches to do his thing. And I think, you know, he's got a really good coaching staff, and, you know, the players are responding well to that, and they're going out there and playing well.
I also want to ask you about something that you talked about during one of the game broadcasts recently. You were discussing the school of thought, like when you were pitching, for example, and how the eras have changed when it came to the effectiveness of high arm slot, high fastball, the tunneling that goes on. And I was with you when I first learned about the finer points of pitching. I remember there being a definite era about 10 years ago where you would always talk about keeping the ball down. Ground ball pitcher was the most valuable asset you could have. Can you expand a little bit more on that? Because I thought it was really important to talk about how the era has changed and how we've seen, you know, just this really effective use out of everything high now that I feel like has changed the game quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, 10 years ago, you're right, the philosophy was down and away fastballs and you wouldn't get hurt. And hitters evolved and figured out that they could take a low pitch and lift it. And anything that was belted down now became a home run ball, whereas, you know, when we threw a belt, hit belt high, it got tattooed out of the ballpark because of the way the style of hitting was. And it's evolved, and then velocity chase above the zone started to happen. But that sacrificed some other things. It sacrifices health. You know, sometimes it sacrifices fastball command. But tunneling is huge, and finding those, you know, making it look the same out of the hand has always been something. But when all of a sudden it changes to pitching above the belt becomes the focus with velo and a ton of breaking balls, it definitely, you know, you got to adapt. And then now you're starting to see it. Mike Trout went through it for a while where the guys attacked his hand. It was like the one blue thing on his entire heat map of all his zones. It was blue in his hands. And the guy started going there. This was years ago, and he had to adjust and started whacking that high fastball. And good hitters are always going to do that, but it's this constant chess game between pitcher and hitter, and it's definitely evolved in the last little while.
Well, and it's funny because I remember saying to myself at one point, why does anybody throw a high fastball? And I felt like that was something where you were, not, I wouldn't say implying it, but you were definitely addressing that danger of it for a pitcher. And I appreciated just you kind of putting it all into perspective as to how and why it's evolved to this extent. Like, I would imagine that would be a very dangerous pitch to throw at that time, given the arsenal that, say, a ground ball pitcher was working with.
Yeah, and then, you know, the art of the ground ball isn't as important anymore. You know, I know some managers like to have it for certain situations, but the art of missing a bat is what they're going for. So if a pitcher goes out there and throws a 1-2-3 inning with six pitches and gets three ground ball outs, or another guy goes out there and throws one inning, gives up a hit, walks one, strikes out three, gives up a run, the pitcher B is considered more valuable because of the three strikeouts, you know, because you're affecting the true outcome. So, but there are guys, you know, if a guy has a good sinker, cool. They're looking for it down, throw it down. Let them beat it into the ground as long as you have their correct movement. But it's an interesting, you know, constantly changing, evolving kind of game that they play because you see offense dip. So how do you get to it? Home runs help. Okay, now pitchers pitch above the belt. Now there's more strikeouts than we've ever seen in the game. You know, a couple of years ago, strikeouts surpassed hits for the first time. Like, it's just a different style of hitting now. OPS matters. Batting average doesn't matter as much. So, you know, pitchers, we evolve with that and go, okay, cool. You want to strike out? We'll strike you out. And it's changed into that game more of the finesse game has definitely gone away.
While we're talking about approaches and looking at this Cubs offense, which obviously seems like a completely different offense than what we saw last year, when really the only major change they made was bringing in Kyle Tucker, from a pitcher's perspective, what's the ripple effect of a batter like that in a lineup and how it changes how you attack the lineup as a whole?
Yeah, Kyle's a perennial kind of MVP candidate. You see his numbers in Houston. He was really good, really good. He got hurt for a little bit last year, but other than that, he's as solid as they come. And I think when you have a hitter like that who's very good at hitting right-handed and left-handed pitching, he's able to not strike out with two strikes a whole lot. Like, he'll go through stretches. He can hit an ace, and he'll absolutely just destroy your four or five starters. It just lengthens the lineup, and it's not just that. Guys watch that day in, day out, and they're like, man, look at the at-bat this guy's having. Look at him stay on that pitch. Look at him talk about hitting. you can talk to him. It affects your lineup. I remember Rizzo telling me that about Soto when he went to the Yankees last year. He's like, Ryan, it changed our whole, the way we took DP. Everything changed. And, you know, when you've got good players around you, you get better. When you watch really guys do really great things and how they prepare, you're like, I want to do more. I want to be better. Like, it's better being the, try to be the big fish in the big pond rather than just be the, you know, the good player on a bad team. No, let's all be good players and we can be a great team.
How do you describe what feels like a real sense of urgency in the Cubs' actions, whether it's trading for Kyle Tucker, for example, or even some of the DFA moves they've made on the pitching staff? You know, Julian Merriweather is no longer with the team, or just the decision to bring Matt Shaw back up after they sent him back down. It just feels like that kind of season where the urgency is there and so is the expectation.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the expectation has now been set that you're in first place and you're winning games and you're winning a lot of them, and so now you believe, and that's important. You should. And you get an affirmation with it with W's in the win column. So then it's like, okay, well, we got the team. Let's go. We're scoring runs, and whatever move we can make that helps our team, we're going to do. Like, look at the pickup at Drew Pomeranz. Like, here's a guy who's been around this league for a while, was a starter, then reliever, Craig out him in Milwaukee. Pick him up for nothing. And he goes, has been out there and been nasty, left at a reliever. Danny Palencia has thrown 100 with command. Like, now all of a sudden it's like, okay, you try to, you continuously, you know, good teams run well, are continuously looking and trying to find options at what's our best option. And I think that's the most important thing, instead of like, oh, we'll wait. Well, the time is now. They're winning. And I think you're seeing that with that sense of urgency that you're feeling or you're noticing.
I don't think oblique injuries are contagious, but you wouldn't know that looking at the Cubs and how it's hit them up and down the roster. I know that's something that you dealt with in your playing days. What are, especially with the sport of baseball and how much torque it demands on your body, how challenging, what are the challenges in coming back from an oblique injury?
Yeah, just making sure that you're healthy. That is like A number one, like don't come back too soon. You know, like I remember coming back from mine in 07 when I pulled my oblique and feeling good and throwing a bullpen and just being like, I don't quite feel like I can get on this. Don't rush it. And then finally it just, you know, just got better one day. The inflammation went out and I was like, okay, I can throw now. But it's hard because, you know, you really got to be ready to let it go. And sometimes it can linger. You know, you just don't want it to come back. It's just one of those tricky ones. You see a lot now, like you mentioned, the high torque hitting, the high torque pitching. The explosiveness, we're seeing just so many of them, but you just got to make sure it's right before you get back. Otherwise, you're going to deal with it all season long.
Ryan, any player in particular who's really stuck out to you when it comes to just coming through on the Cubs this past couple months?
Yeah, you know, obviously there's tons of excitement with Pete Crumstrong, and I love it too, and it's so much fun. But I think what Seiya Suzuki's been able to kind of quietly do is, you know, just been... been impressive. You know, the ball jumps off his bat differently. He's so strong. When you see him on TV, you're like, you know, he looks big and stuff. And you're next to him in person, he's big and strong. But I mean, his career lines up with what you're seeing this year. And I think it kind of flies under the radar. You know, 49 RBIs. We're not even to June yet. You know, and like his career OPS is 8.5. What is it, 840 or 830 or something like that? So it's pretty impressive. What, and lately, he's just been scorching hot. He's almost like 500 the last 7 games. So it's been fun to watch him quietly just take all the scraps that PCA leaves on the field for him and say is just turn him into RBIs.
It's been 18 minutes, and we haven't made our mandatory Pete Crow Armstrong mentions. Let me ask you about Pete Crow Armstrong before we let you go, Ryan. I was listening a few weeks ago, or watching a few weeks ago on Marquee, and JD made a point that I hadn't really considered when it comes to Pete Crow Armstrong, and it's that his speed is so dangerous, and pitchers are so worried about what he might do when he gets on the bases that they're real careful not to give him a free base in the form of a walk, and so they attack him in the strike zone, and he's done a really good job of capitalizing on that. Is that something that's going through your mind when you're facing a guy who can do what PCA does on the bases in terms of the way you're attacking him as a hitter?
Yeah, he's a dynamic ability out there that is different from a lot of players. I mean, you know, he's sitting here at 14-14 for home runs and stolen bases. So like you said, you can't just be, oh, I'm going to pitch around him, because he can steal second, he can steal third. And then so, and you're like, I don't want to walk him. And I think sometimes he could even draw more walks than he is. You know, guys will get 3-1. Well, they don't want to throw him a cookie, so they end up throwing something that spins, and, you know, maybe he swings on a ball that's out of the zone. As he just gets more and more at-bats, especially against tough lefties, he's just going to know the strike zone more and more. And, you know, this is a guy to me that is going to be 30-30 candidate every year. And he's just to watch it happen so fast right in front of us. I remember that catch he made in L.A. last year. He robbed Max Muncy of a home run to win the game. And I just was like, this kid, the things he was doing out there. I know he was born in Hollywood. His mom was a Hollywood actress. He's made for this. And he just runs around with his hair on fire on defense and makes great plays. He's can't say enough special things about him, man. And he's a good kid, and he's managing a lot off the field and everything, that all the wants and asks that he has to take in and still go out there and try and play good baseball as a, you know, a young kid. He's just 23. It's pretty special.
Ryan Dempster, we appreciate you joining us on The Score. You can catch Ryan on Marquee and on Intentional Talk. We always love to see it. Thanks so much, and thanks for the tips.
You bet, guys. I enjoy. I can't wait to hear it. It'll be fun.
I'm still a little scared, but I appreciate the confidence, Ryan.
You're going to crush it.
That means a lot. That's Ryan Dempster. Thanks again to Ryan. And we want to remind you to tune into our show tomorrow from 10 to 2 for our live broadcast from Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville. Mark Grody will be with us. We'll be joined by Ian Happ for the 12 o'clock hour to talk about Cubs and the baseball life. Ian, I'm sure, will give us an honest critique.
Oh, for
hopefully.
Sure. Yeah.
Cubs on Deck is powered by Verizon. Learn more about Verizon's deals for Military Appreciation Month at your local Verizon store. Coming up next, I do want to talk about Ben Johnson trying to change the culture on the Bears.
And I hope he does.
And what we heard in the availability that we have gotten so far from OTAs and that part of it. So what goes into actually trying to change the culture? We will discuss next. Rami Makhlouf in for Marshall Harris on The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
I mean, just challenge me, whether it's, you know, pulling me aside, whether it's, you know, and saying whatever, or find ways to help better myself, but also, you know, better the team. And I don't have an issue with being challenged. I don't have an issue with, you know, speaking truth between, you know, the coach and I, or, you know, whoever it may be. Yeah, just whichever way that happens, whichever way it shapes is the way it goes.
That is Caleb Williams after the Packers game. You know, that time the Bears beat the Packers, Rami.
Oh, man. I celebrated. I did.
In Milwaukee?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Really good. It feels really good. I don't get the opportunity off. For those who don't know, I live in Milwaukee. Don't worry. Tried and true. Born and raised here in Chicago. Sports fan, like all the same teams you do. But I haven't gotten the opportunity over my years living there to walk the streets proudly in my Bears gear after a Bears-Packers matchup. That was a good feeling. People were real quiet.
Were you just double birds all the way?
Yeah, like, the whole time.
You guys.
The whole time. Whole time. It was amazing. It was a really, really good feeling.
It's about time.
I know. I want to see more of that. I need more of that.
Yeah, no kidding. I think we all want to see more of that, especially, and I always say this, somebody brings it up, they're always like, yeah, every time we bring up the game against the Packers, I'm like, yes, they could have beaten them twice.
Could have.
And I like that too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That was a good part of that game as well.
Because it looks like, and I don't know with Minnesota's quarterback situation, but it looks like as they try to make their way to the top of the NFC North, the Packers are the first team. It's always been the Packers were at the top and the team you were trying to surmount. The Packers are the first team they got a leapfrog here in the division. And it'll feel real, real good if they can, and they do.
Yeah, and I definitely feel like they had a very good chance of that happening last season. I feel like they do for sure this year. And the reason I think we all bring this up is it was that quote from Ben Johnson. We actually heard it earlier in the show. When I went back and listened to the comments after Bears OTAs that we have so far, when I love that he embraces the challenge, and we've talked about that, and he also talked about hard coaching, and I feel like in those comments there were a couple of pieces where I thought to myself, that is how you talk about changing a culture. Wins do it. Number one, winning. Yes. Will change your culture. Everything else is much easier when you win. We have talked all about it with the Cubs earlier today. You can do it in other ways, like for example the White Sox bringing in Will Venable, even sending the message of sending Andrew Vaughn down to Charlotte. I think these are all ways where you can let people know that the expectations are different, mm-hmm. right? Like these are changing agents that we've seen. So I think we've spent a lot of time on this show talking about it. But when I consider how that goes for the Bears, and we don't have games yet for months, but you hear these bits and pieces, I feel like they build up to trying to make that occur. It also stinks because you realize when you hear it from somebody who's arguably more functional, how bad it may have been previously.
Right. Yeah. I was just going to say, Layla, culture, and if you're a coach or somebody at the top of the food chain or totem pole, wherever you might be, it starts with competence. You know what? And I think that seems real basic, but I think when you're talking about the Bears and their last few coaching hires on both sides of the football, there's been a lack of that. Like there's just a level of competence that you need to start to sort of light the match of setting a good culture. You got to know what you're doing. You know what I mean? And everything that we've heard about Matt Eberflus and his coaching staff, that just wasn't there. And that's just like the first thing you got to have to set a good culture is competence.
And I'm not trying to point this out based on our last couple of segments here, but it is an indicator. you also have to have people who want to be here.
Yes.
You know, it's not just the guys you trade for, like a Joe Tooney. It's the guys who sign with you, who have the choice as to whether or not they want to be here. Like Grady Jarrett, for example. So he might be one of the better examples to show, and he spoke over the weekend. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to Grady Jarrett when it came to understanding the standard and then just having a different voice in him, for example, speaking.
He our leader, man. So, I mean, it's even across the board. You know, the standard is the standard. And what I can say is him, none of the coaches, DA, they're not coming off of it, you know. And it's our job as players to put our best foot forward every day to reach what's expected of us. You know, we're never going to be perfect, but the strive to try to reach it, you know, that could breed excellence. So I'm excited for the standard that he's setting for everybody across the board. You know, so it's this ain't a program where it's like, you know, you try to be guy friends to pat them to, you know, hopefully they'll buy in. No, it's you got to get with it. You know, I've been around for a long time, and that's the kind of culture you have to set, you know, early, because, you know, when the expectations are high, that's what you want.
See, and hearing it from somebody who's been at a different place.
Mm-hmm.
You can argue as to whether or not the success during his tenure in Atlanta was there. I think he's been through enough seasons to know. And that's kind of the point is, again, going back to the qualified resume, you know, not just of the candidate who became that coach, but the candidates who are your free agents. I think that is a big piece of this as well.
And his coaching staff, to have a former head coach in Dennis Allen and a guy who's been around the league forever on his right-hand man and his defensive coordinator, I think there's value in that as well. But when you hear Grady Jarrett talking there about the culture and the type of guys that you want to have around, I don't know that I'm going to have patience for this thing to take time with Ben Johnson, Layla, only because we're heading into year four of the Ryan Poles era with nothing to show for it thus far. So I can't say that I have patience for it, but there's a part of me that's sort of ready for it or preparing myself for this thing to take a little bit of time. I think a lot of people think, oh, we got the coach. He'll just come in here and turn the key and everything will be great. I was watching the Four Letter Network. I don't remember which show it was. But
it's okay. We say ESPN on the midday show.
Oh, well, I was watching ESPN the other day, and I don't remember which show it was, but they were talking about Aaron Glenn and the challenge that he's facing in New York as the head coach of the Jets. And he was the defensive coordinator, Ben Johnson's counterpart out there in Detroit, and they talked about when Dan Campbell went to Detroit and brought Aaron Glenn with him and the rest of the coaching staff, the first year was about finding out who's going to be a part of this thing. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And
yeah.
And weeding out the guys who can't be a part of this thing. Because I looked at that team last year, and I know a lot of people look at that roster and look at that team and go, you know, much, much better roster than their record. Much better roster than when Ryan Poles took over. And I look at it and I go, that's a 5-win team. And that's a team that lost 10 games in a row. And that doesn't just happen because of coaching. There's going to be some roster weeding that needs to happen here. You know what I mean? Even though it might look good on paper from the standpoint that, you know, this guy is big or fast or can jump high or catch football or whatever skill it is mm-hmm. that tantalizes us as fans or makes us go, that looks good on paper. There are intangibles that we don't even see or know about that you only see if you're in the building and you're one of their coaches. And it's going to take some weeding out of the guys that don't have those intangibles, at least here in the first year.
Or that don't want to be there.
Exactly. And that does, to a degree, go back to the Caleb Williams conversation that we had in the last hour. But there's going to be some roster weeding that needs to happen here to really get the culture that Ben Johnson wants.
And it happens with every coaching change in the NFL.
Yes.
It happens with every staff change. You're going to have guys who either the coach doesn't feel like fit on their team, you know, Khalil Mack being one of the most famous
yep.
ones
yep.
with Gruden in Vegas, or they decide it's a mutual separation, whatever you want to do, that is not something that works for them anymore. And you're right. That's something that we probably need to discuss more, is that concept. You know, who's here after the first year of this? But I go back to what you said about this being the fourth year of the regime and the fourth year of the front office, and that's why I do have a higher expectation. That's why I still think 10 wins should be in the discussion. You better hope it's in the discussion.
I got him at 9 just after the schedule came out. You do the old win-loss thing. I got him at 9, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if they fall short of that. I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm going to be upset about it, and I'm going to be disappointed. But there is a part of me that almost expects that and is getting ready for something sub 9 wins or sub 500 just because of the process that it is when a new coach comes in and takes over.
I also want to point out, we hear a lot about the culture when your team isn't winning. So maybe we should hear from some people who have won, like Joe Tooney, for example, about why he's here and when he was happy about getting the move to be here, because he was obviously traded for. But willingly, an extension happens, and so he knows he's going to be here for a few more years. Let's listen to Joe Tooney about the culture that he's seen so far.
Everyone seems to just be really intense and focused, and something I want to be a part of, and just guys working for each other, and everyone trying to improve bit by bit, and like you said, it's a process, it's early, but I think guys like working here, and it's been great being in meetings with him. You can tell just the intent, the intention, the attention to detail, his very high standard, which is awesome, and. He's very good communicating. You know exactly what he wants from each play, from each player, very specific. So I think he's a great coach. You know, he teaches very well, and it's really cool to learn from him.
Now, it's easy when you're a former Pro Bowler at your position and a Super Bowl champion. You've played for the Patriots and the Chiefs, to expect a higher standard and to embrace it. But I do like to hear what winners see in winning.
Yeah. And there are certain habits that go into winning, and certain mindsets that go into winning. And Joe Tooney has been around that from coaches to quarterbacks that he's played with and played for. He knows what it looks like. And he's saying that Ben Johnson has it, and I hope he's sincere in telling the truth in that, but the proof will be in the pudding once these guys get out there on the field.
Well, and also you'll just see a willingness to even try new things. I think like the trick plays, for example, is a willingness for people to try something different.
Yeah.
And not necessarily that they think it's going to work, but that they all trust each other enough and appreciate who's leading to be able to do so.
Right.
That's a part of this that maybe we don't get into a lot as well.
I can't wait to see what a Ben Johnson coached Bears team looks like. I really can't. And I hope they got the right guy, not just from an X's and O's standpoint, but really changing the way things are done and how expectations are set at Hallis Hall. Because that's been missing for a long time.
Yes.
And just some baseline competence.
Baseline competence.
That'd be good.
And members of baseline competence.
Exactly.
Something we all strive to be part of, observe, and also participate in. We have more coming up here on Raheemi and Harris on the Score. Rami Makhlouf is in, but Marshall Harris would join us because we got to talk about the seventh inning stretch tonight that we're singing. So we'll try to do some teamwork on this thanks to the tips we got from Demp earlier in the hour. That's next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Go, 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 shout
it. It's his birthday. We're going to party like it's his birthday. I don't know that there will be Bacardi even though it's his birthday. But I don't care because it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Marshall.
Happy birthday. Yes, yes. I thought I would have a very nondescript take the day off, relax, birthday. But that is not the way the cards fell on this birthday. What's up, Layla? What's up, Robin? How are you guys doing today?
Good. What you been up to? What made it such a hectic birthday, Marshall?
Well, no, I'm just saying because of what's happening tonight.
Oh, okay.
I thought I was just going to be chilling. I was going to go watch Mission Impossible 2, The Final Reckoning. I've had very limited contact, only phone calls and FaceTimes with others except for the two gym classes I took this morning. But that was not meant to be. So here we are on my birthday talking about singing. And Layla, I did hear the segment with your expert on the seventh inning stretch. And now do you understand what I was talking about?
Yeah, I just, I always, so in music, that also usually means like somebody can't hit the high note, so they let everybody else
no,
hear it.
No. It's like when the hook comes on, you let them hit them with the hook. Let them have the hook.
Oh, yeah.
Let them have the hook. And yeah. those are the spots that Ryan Dempster mentioned. Those are definitely the hook spots in this particular seventh inning stretch anthem of Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Okay, so conspiracy theory.
All right.
I have also
give it to me. I'm always here for that.
I know. So I have also suspected that some people don't want to say root, root, root for the Cubbies. So they let everybody else say it because they don't want to say it.
I have no problem saying their root, baseball. Root, root for the Cubbies.
We don't, but I'm saying there are people who have.
Oh, you're saying there are non-Cubs fans who come through and sing it, and they don't want to say root, root, root for the Cubbies, so they let the fans say it.
Exactly.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, I'm not here to like put the responsibility on others. We are taking the responsibility.
Oh, no, it's a way of sharing the experience because I told somebody over the weekend because, you know, I was out of town in Georgia. I told them about this and I was like, look, they're like, oh, you're singing the seventh inning stretch. You're singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I was like, no, we're leading Take Me Out to the Ball Game. It is a group effort. It's not just the two of us. This is not Matt Spiegel singing the national anthem before the game, although people will participate, but he's not sharing that moment with the fans. He is there to deliver that moment.
You know,
I think we should have more of a team approach.
You know who is my example on this, actually?
Who's that?
Taylor and Elise did a really good job with it whenever they do it. Taylor McGregor and Elise Menaker.
Yeah.
And they have fun and it's like a group effort, but they do actually sing. So that was my thought. And they're the
closest.
Oh, yeah,
we're going to sing. I'm never going to stop singing. Yes, we're going to sing. And Layla, remember the key. Stay low. Stay low.
Oh, yeah. Star,
like swing low.
Well, I can sing high, but nobody needs to hear that. No, it's star low, but I don't have all the bass you do. So, it's, again, you know, it's a team effort.
Do either of you have, like, any musical training at all?
Yeah, I mean, in high school, in junior high and elementary school, I played like viola and also sang.
Okay,
yeah, so sing, dance, play music.
Like
but,
you know notes and scales. And,
oh yeah.
And all. Okay,
but
all right.
Like I can carry a tune in a suitcase.
Do you know what?
Like, I'm not a professional singer.
Go ahead. For me, I played the saxophone alto for one semester in, I believe that was sixth grade. Yeah, sixth grade. And then I was like, yeah, this being seventh chair isn't for me. And then when I used to be in the children's choir at church, and like, okay. And they would give me the occasional solo, and I would hit those pretty good. But after I hit puberty, okay. It was like that one episode of the Brady Bunch. Yeah, my voice had changed, and it wasn't going back.
It was
and
never
I
just going can't back.
And then it became bass Marisol. Yeah. So I had a different scenario. Like, so for me, I probably would have minored in performing arts had I not gone to a school known for its music program. You know, like at North Texas, if you wanted to minor in performing arts, you would be a professional musician. Like, that's the expectation.
Really?
There. But yeah, I wasn't going to do that. So like at other schools that I had applied to that were like bigger schools, I could have probably done that. Like sing, dance, music, whatever, but like not at, nah. And I'm not saying I'm going to be in Tributosaurus anytime soon. But that the combo would, like, because I've done like solos and shows and stuff, but it's been a while.
I know you have the musical background, not just in the oratory sense, but also in the performance. So if you want to drop it like it's temperature.
No, nobody
feel
needs.
Feel free to do that.
This is not an audition. This is not karaoke. I do think, like Rami and I were talking about in the last segment, there will be some baseline competence here. So that'll be good.
Yeah, between the two of us, we probably heard this song 10,000 times, and I'm not exaggerating.
Yes. But I think it's never in a million years did I think we would be singing it.
So I have a question for you guys. Like, what is your tempo going to be? Because Dempster said to go slow, and I think that's bad advice. I think you should go, like we need to figure out the tempo because the crowd will impact how you guys sing it.
The crowd will rush because that's what they do. That is something I have learned as somebody who participated in group music, is that they will rush. But that's why you stay with the organ. So I would assume.
I was about to say, let the organ be the guide, yes. One, but also I think the 1, 2, 3 at the start sets the tone. If you're like, a one, a two, a three, it's already too fast. It's gotta be a one,
a two. Oh, that's slow?
A three.
Yeah. And I'm now, with Marshall on this.
Listen, because it's already going to get sped up. It's already going to get sped up. It's already going to get sped up.
I think he's right. And you have to consider the adrenaline factor.
Yes.
As well. I
started laughing because I'm thinking of the organist just holding this note forever while we talk about this. Like the whole time.
I know.
Now, before we go, though, Layla, here's what I want to do. And you tell me if this is okay. We're discussing it. This probably should be a production meeting. But instead, we're on the air live. We've got to wish a happy birthday to one Pat Hughes.
We have to.
Oh, it's Pat's birthday today too?
What? Yes. Birthday so I think that in and of itself, we say that off the top. It's already a dub for us. We got to wish Pat Hughes a birthday, a Hall of Famer in his house while he's on the job.
Wait, did I also hear it's Frank Thomas's birthday too?
Yes. I can tell you all the, it's Lauryn Hill's birthday. You know, it's my birthday. So I know whose birthday is on my birthday. So yeah. It's also Jeff Bagwell's birthday. They were born, Frank and Jeff, on the same day. Exactly.
Wild.
10 years prior to me.
To share a birthday with Frank Thomas and Pat Hughes is royalty.
And the Lauryn Hill, because you know my favorite album of all time is The Miseducation.
That's not
still waiting on that second album, Lauryn. Anytime you want to drop it.
And now I picture the organ note playing again.
Just show up for a concert. That'd be cool too. If she just show up for a concert, that'd be awesome.
You guys are asking too much.
I know.
You're asking too much out of the artist.
It would be a day late. And $1 short.
See, like that's the thing. So I ended up double minoring in political science and sociology because I am too type A for that lifestyle. I'm like, oh, cool. Wow. Can this give me a law degree potentially? We'll do that instead.
Do you guys have live performance experience? I know we do this for a living, but like in front of a crowd, much less 40,000 people.
Like I sang in it. I had a bit part in opera when I was like in high school.
Did you say opera?
Yeah.
That's different level, Layla.
No,
it was
like four lines. It was not a big deal. I played like a kid who didn't want to go to school.
My biggest singing experience is probably when I sang the theme to DuckTales from start to finish in front of a high school audience that I was giving a public speaking thing to.
Because like, adrenaline can speed you up. We're talking about the tempo. The adrenaline can speed you up. You want to be aware of that.
But
you
also, like, conscious. Yeah, I mean, playing in orchestra and stuff. No, like our teacher would have. No, there would have been much yelling. Like, you'd better not rush. No. That's the whole point.
I think
like
you guys
dance,
got
like
this.
Dancing in front of a crowd. Yeah, people always want to rush. And then I was the one in charge, and I was like, "You're not." And I was like, "Slow down."
I think you guys got
go
this.
Go with the beat of the actual music.
I'm not worried about y'all. You got it.
I'm going to slow down like who? Well, Daniel Palencia, Brad Keller, take your pick, as Layla and I have been known to do.
I just don't want to be like
in the triple digits.
I don't want to go as slow as like the song Desperado or something. That's like, like we're not here to waste people's time. I don't want to be an Aretha national anthem here, you know?
No, we're just going to have fun. It's going to be everyone is going to have fun. And hopefully we won't have to say, you know, we need more runs or something like that at the end. Hopefully they'll
it's
the freaking Rockies.
Hopefully
they'll be up 11 to 2.
Oh, no, I'm definitely saying let's get some runs.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, even if you got the runs.
Okay. I think the
way you ask for runs is you know, it's like we need runs or we're going to lose this game versus pile it on.
All right, so we'll figure out what we want. Let's get some runs. Isn't that what they say? I thought
yes.
That was okay.
Yes.
All right, we're saying that. Okay, so do you feel better since we've had this meeting? I actually am more scared.
Why? No, I feel much better because I feel like we're on the same page. When you texted me back and I was like, oh, I was worried because I was like, we're not going to be on the same page. But I feel like we're on the same page.
Yeah, I just need instructions.
Yeah, we will have a production meeting, a pre-prod. We'll get this all sorted out.
But I'm saying Cubbies. Like, I'm not shying away.
Yes, we will say Cubbies, but you generally they take over that particular phrase.
You're right.
And we're still singing along.
All of that. Okay. Good. All right. We'll
every day,
out.
Lead off man, Cubbies at what was it, 1:20 or 12:20? No, 1:20 because I was in Central Time. Me and Huntsville Alabama watching the Cubs Braves doubleheader with the weird 6:35 start time for the Braves.
TBS like, at Superstation.
Yeah, all Superstation right. To Superstation.
Happy birthday, Marshall. I will see you there. What time are you getting there?
Probably about 6:30. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay.
Is that you want to meet beforehand? We can meet at a bar down the street if you want.
I don't. Well, we've got the 1917 Club tickets.
Oh, do we? I don't know. What
yeah.
We have. I guess I should download the
I know.
Tickets.
Fancy. I've never been. Look yeah, this is all guys. Very exciting.
Very fancy.
Maybe you got those tickets and I didn't. I haven't even looked at the ticket shop.
I was told that's what we have. And even if we don't, maybe we just sneak in and yell at people.
All right, whatever you want.
All right, they told me to go to break like 5 minutes ago.
Okay, my bad. I'll let y'all later.
Okay, you, have a good birthday. I'll see you in a few.
Happy birthday.
Yeah,
happy
Matt.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Matt Spiegel, who actually knows how to sing, and Lawrence Holmes are next.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.